Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thanks, Sophie and Nate, for the set. That was I gave Sophie one word to work on for the set this morning. It was joy.
Yes.
And she did a wonderful job in some ways that I never knew when I gave her that word, how my sermon was going to be, because I gave it to her before I was finished with it. And those songs worked into it very well, I think, in ways that I hope you see. It's on trials this morning. We all have them. And when I wrote these words, I said, I'm willing to bet that from the time you woke up this morning until the moment we're here together, you've experienced some kind of trial. Probably minor trials. You know, we have them every day. 2 o'clock this morning, when I first woke up, because my smoke alarm went off. Not for smoke, not for CO, just because it felt like it. It was a fault, you know? So that's how our day began. It did it twice. Then shut up the rest of the night. But so yes, we all experience those trials day in and day out. But we do experience some trials that really challenge our faith. Loss of a loved one, medical issues. The kind of trials that steal our joy. So if you have your Bibles this morning, please open to James. I'm sure you're all familiar with the verse I'm going to be talking about in James 1. I'll give you some time to get there. I'll be referring to it a few times. So it's in James 1, verses 2 to 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I remember when I first started reading the Bible, I saw that verse, and it's like, totally blown away. It's like, I'm a young Christian, really starting to dig into the Word and just seeing that and saying, what? if you consider all joy when you encounter trials, how can that be? How can you be joyful in the trials? I understood that what it said there, you know, that it's a challenge or testing of our faith, and we should be joyful in those trials. I didn't understand that. And I don't think I fully understood it until Deb and I went to Haiti. That was quite a big challenge in our lives. And yeah, trial, there were tribulations. There were many in that process. We sold our house, most of our possessions, what we had left, we shipped it down to Haiti. We got on a plane knowing there was no turning back at that point. That was for you, Justina, no turning back. Sorry. Setting up the home, moving in, the young adults, learning the language, learning the culture, and many other things we had taken for granted living here in the U.S. There's no Walmart, no Home Depot, no Stop and Shop, only occasional electricity, and no guarantees of any running water. We had much to learn and much to incorporate into our daily lives so we could survive there. There were several big trials that tested our faith in the beginning. They tested our resolve and our commitment to the mission. There were times that Deb and I just wanted to get on a plane and turn away. That was the fleshly thing, right? That would have been sinful in our eyes to do that. And I think God wanted us there, but we were not hearing it at times. We just wanted to get out. But instead, we resisted that temptation. We turned to prayer. We encouraged one another. We learned to trust the Lord more and more and learn from each of those trials as we took a step each day. We could not let our guard down, though. The devil was always there. He was always trying to get at us and trying to tell us, "Up, you're not doing the right thing. Get up, leave, go." But we remained steadfast in those trials, and they strengthened our relationship together, and especially I strengthened our relationship with the Lord. Must honestly say that those few months in Haiti, our joy was tested, and times, to be frank, our joy was non-existent. However, it was also a time of drawing closer to God, trusting Him more and more. But I think all that time in those trials, He was preparing for one that we could have never expected that happened to us down there. And I'm going to share, I don't think, some of you may have heard what happened to us down there, but this was a trial that really challenged us a bit, but with God's help, we got through it. Once a week, we would go up to Pessonville, which is a inner city next to where we were living, to do our grocery shopping. There was a small grocery store there, sort of like a compact Stop and Shop. Wasn't Stop and Shop, though. But this particular week, we decided to stop on the bank on the way by to exchange some U.S. dollars into Haitian goud. The amount was $500, not a lot for us here. It was five $100 bills I walked into the bank with. Could be pretty discreet with that. But I was changing it into Haitian goud, which by the time I did that, and was getting small bills so I could give them to the young adults to buy their little food each day for lunch or for their transportation, it came out with several inches thick of Haitian goud. It was pretty obvious that I had that. And we think that that caught the eye of someone in the bank, who then called someone outside the bank, relayed that information to someone to follow us. And we think they followed us to the grocery store. Didn't realize it at first. This is all in hindsight. We see things that happen. We went in the store, and I had forgotten our frequent, discount card, buyer's card. Out in the car, so I went back out to get it. And there's a guy walking around in the parking lot looking in cars and on the phone, and he was near our car when I went out. And I didn't really think of it at the time, but it was obvious in hindsight he was checking our car out. When we left the grocery store and we're headed home, we turned down our street, and a motorcycle with two people on it passed in front of us and started with sort of following, because our road only went in one way pretty much. And just before our gate, guy gets off the back of the motorcycle, pulls a gun out of his back, and starts pointing it at us. So here we are. I'm first thinking there was a bunch of men standing next to our gate in the noon shade, just talking. I thought they were going for them. That's what I first thought. But then as it got a little closer, it was more obvious they were coming after us. I just said, before that even happened, I said, "Deb, get down." She started to pray. But then I realized they were after us. So I just said, "Keep praying," and I kept going. I didn't stop. I don't know why, I just kept going right sort of toward him. Fortunately, he jumped out of the way, but he didn't stop looking at us. We went down into it. We lived in a cul-de-sac, so I went down into the cul-de-sac and pulled in next to the little shop that was there. And there were people in that cul-de-sac that normally weren't there. Middle of the day, no one was usually out in the sun. No one was in that area. But this day, there was dozens of people. And they surrounded us. They protected us. They called the police. They actually started shouting at the man who had the gun. And he didn't follow. He didn't pursue. He just sort of was pointing the gun at us still. And even went like that. But he didn't come near us. The guys in the neighborhood chased him away. They actually were shouting, and they walked towards him, and he just got back on his moto and went away. And the police eventually came, but police in Haiti don't do too much. But they didn't even talk to me. But there was just no explanation for the amount of men that were around us that day. We feel that God was definitely covering us. He was there. But that was a trial that really challenged us. But we remained steadfast. We did. It was an unbelievable amount of peace that was on us. And people were coming. We had the pastor of the church we were attending come over and visit us. We had our translator come and his mother come and visit us. We had people that were in our prayer group come and visit us, all talk to us, thinking that we were just like going to be freaking out. And we weren't. We had this unbelievable calmness about it. So that trial, I think, really helped me to understand this verse in James. So I just wanted to make 5 points that I think through that experience and others in our lives that I think we can all benefit from. So I'm just going to pick it apart piece by piece. So consider it all joy. That's the tough part, isn't it? To be joyful in all our situations. So that does not mean in our trials and our tribulations we don't experience other emotions. Fear, sorrow, and certainly a myriad of other emotions we will experience. It's okay. I saw Jesus did not rebuke Mary when she was weeping at the tomb of Lazarus. He joined in her weeping. In Romans 12:15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And then in Hebrews 12:11, it says, for the moment, all discipline seems not to be pleasant, but painful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Just think of those times, we find the joy in the lesson, right? And being taught. Being joyful in trials is not a human nature. Deb and I certainly were not joyful the moment the gun came out and it was pointed at us. But in reflection afterwards, we were joyful that the first and foremost, our God was with us. And we rejoiced that he was there. And we glorified him to all those we told of the incident, all those that came around us. We told them how peace we were, that God was there. We knew he was there. We felt his presence. And we were just so thankful and joyful for that. The second point is when you encounter trials will come. They are a guarantee. James says when you encounter trials, not if you encounter them. Jesus warned us in John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Peter has a similar verse to the James verse. It says 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing as though something strange were happening to you. Trials shouldn't be a strange occurrence in a Christian's life. They're there for a reason. Many Christians falsely believe that if they obey Christ, they will not experience trials. That's not true. We're told we're going to experience them. So when they do experience them, and if they don't think they should, they get confused and blame God. While in the world, you will have tribulations. Expect them to come. When they come, you need to be strong and resist the devil. It tells us in James, if we resist the devil, he will flee. Do not sin, right? If we don't resist the devil and fall into those temptations and do the worldly things, we're sinning. The Bible is full of examples of saints who experienced trials. We have Moses, Job, David, Elijah, and even Jesus in the wilderness. This one, it's like, I had two devotionals I do every morning, and one's from like the early 1900s, and the other one is like a modern one. Both of them on Friday were talking about Jesus in the wilderness. And I was like, okay, that's supposed to be in there. So when he was in the trials in the wilderness, he was tempted three times by the devil, and he did not sin. Each time he responded with scripture, and the devil ran. Let us learn from him. Turn to God. Turn to the word for your answers when trials come your way. Expect the trials. Prepare for them. And be ready to rely and grow your faith through them. The third point I wanted to make was various trials. Some translations say many kinds or manifold trials. I'm just basically saying there will be many kinds, all kinds of trials, more than one, plural, trials. They will be related to however God in his perfect plan wants to grow our faith. In Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We cannot know why he sends a particular trial. He does, but he knows what our life needs to grow, and he will send trials into our life to grow those areas in his plan for our sanctification, our process of becoming more like Christ. The fourth point I wanted to make is knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Recognize that these trials are tests of our faith. That's meant to make our faith endure. Paul says this about trials in Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only this, but we also celebrate in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who is given to us. Tribulations help us persevere, which develops our character and gives us hope. Knowing that the trials will come, we can be prepared. Deb and I prepared for our move to Haiti, knowing that we would need to understand the language. We studied it and took courses to help us. We knew that we would not be ready to access all things we have for the house, food and whatnot. So we shipped things down from the U.S. to help us get set up and prepare us for those first few months with food. It's the same with the trials that challenge our faith. Knowing that they will come, we need to be prepared by studying the Word of God, praying that we will know His will when the trials come, and establishing a community of believers that we can turn to in our trials. I'm not saying that our faith will be perfect in those trials if we prepare. That is the whole point of God sending those trials, of perfecting us through them. But being prepared and drawing close to God will help us in those times of trial. And the last point I wanted to say is let endurance have its perfect result. Endurance will have its perfect result. When will this happen? None of us in this room or this world have been perfected. We are all going through the same process of becoming more like Christ. We are being sanctified. Here is one way a community of believers is vital. We see it in Scripture. Moses was given 70 elders to help him when the complaints of the people were getting overwhelming to him. Elijah was given Elisha after he was running from Jezebel, right? That's out of fear. So David had Nathan to show him his sin with Bathsheba. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ to come alongside us to help us through our trials, to encourage us, to help us in our weakness, to reveal our sins to us when we are blind to them. We also need to be examples to those around us on how to not let our trials weaken our faith and what it means to trust and rely in God through our trials. We need to live out what it says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We need community. We need each other. And Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "And let's consider how to encourage one another in love and good deeds, not abandoning our own meeting together, as is the habit of some people, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So just, again, encouragement of community. When Deb and I went through the trial of the gunman and we had been that overwhelming sense of peace, I believe our experiencing the trial was just as much for us as it was for those around us, if not more. All of our young adults were seeing how that incident did not rock our faith. They were worried that we were going to go pack everything up and leave due to our fear, because they were afraid. They were coming together as a group to make sure we felt safe in our home, and it was amazing to see God use it in their lives. The things they were doing, it was like, are you Stevenson? And it's like, they were amazing. And we were thankful for each and every one of them in that time. But they didn't see our fear or any doubt in us. They saw how strong we trusted in Jesus to be our protector, and I believe that increased their faith. So Sophie and Nate, if you come back up, then in summary, I'm going to paraphrase James 1-2. This is Dave's translation. So be joyful, because you know the trials we will face in this life are God's perfect plan to grow our faith in Him, perfecting us for the day of His return, to take us home, to be with Him in glory forever and ever. Trials are not the enemy. God allows them to test and grow our faith. Trust God. You will get through them by your faith in Him. You can choose to be miserable in the trials, or you can learn to embrace them and be joyful, knowing that they are a gift of God. Amen. So, Lord, just be with us as we depart this morning, and we just give you glory. We love you. We praise you, and just can't thank you enough for that sacrifice and what you've done for us. We love you and praise you. May your blessings be upon all those here today, Lord God. In your precious name, amen.